Accession number 19905, Reel 2.
Mr. Bailey, Reel 2. You were just telling me about the Koreans, please.
Yes, when we was in reserve and we was used to have our fresh meals in the meal tent. When you come out with any leftovers, there was children at the fence with their tins, putting their tins through because they wanted food. They wanted your waste food. A lot of us used to just give them some food and put it in their cans for them. That was one contact we had with the children, but as for civilians, we had very little contact with them.
You didn't have any Koreans working for you?
When I was driving the ambulance jeep, there was one young boy there. He used to help out. He was a Korean. He wasn't in the forces or anything, but he was just there for help out.
To get a paid job?
Pardon?
To get a paid job.
Did he get a paid job? I think he just had his keep and his clothes and things like that, those to give him.
Did you come across any other allies apart from Indians and Americans?
Canadians. We took over from the Van Dues, 22nd Regiment of Canadians. So when you went in the line, you took over from the battalion that was in there. Mostly it was either your own battalions, English battalions or Canadians, French, they're there, Australians, New Zealand. You met occasional, that's all.
What impression did the Van Dues make on you?
We just take over for them and take over. One lot's going out, one's going in. You might say a few words to them, but that would be all, you know.
Did you have any moments of danger in Korea?
Well, there was always danger when you was in the line. Didn't know what to expect next, you know. Even when you was in your bunker, I mean, if you was overrun, you wouldn't know what you'd do if you was overrun or what. Just fight back. So there's always that element of danger, and when you was driving along, I mean, one time I was being, I drove up, I took a company out to go on patrol, and when I was waiting there, I started getting mortared and shelled, so I just ran, and I see this slit trench, and I just dived into it, and not really, some of them slit trenches about 6 foot deep. When I hit the bottom, I just twisted my ankle slightly, and I thought, oh, I felt sick, you know. I felt, God, what am I doing here, you know? And apart from that, no, I think you get used to living with the danger.
So when you were in the line, what would be a typical day? Can you take me through a typical day?
It all depends who I was driving for. If I was driving the ambulance jeep, I might be off during the day and up all night on call out. I could be there all night and nothing happened. It could be a quiet night and I wouldn't even get called out. But you had to be awake and ready to go out. One day, during the day, the carrier went out and it broke down. And they wanted someone to go out to pick the people up that was injured. And as I drove up there, I come up to the carrier, which was blocking the road. You got one side was barbed wire and minefields. So I put a tow rope on it and tried to tow this carrier. And I managed just to twist it round a little bit to get by it so I could go through. And if you never picked up the wounded, I know at one time there was three people were killed at night, and that was in the winter, and the snow came down. and just covered them, and you couldn't find them. They couldn't find them. And they had to wait till the thaw before they found the bodies. And by the time they found the bodies, I had a friend who had to pick them up, and he said they're just full of maggots, and it wasn't a very pleasant sight to see.
What was your state of health in Korea?
Quite well, really. I was never ill. And you managed to survive on the food you eat.
Did you ever come across any vermin or animals?
There's a few rats. You said rats, snakes, and there's plenty of frogs at night. Sometimes you're near the paddy fields, and when it got dark, all the frogs' chorus used to start up. You could hear them croak, 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 croak.
Were you happy or miserable in Korea?
I was quite happy. A bit worrying at times, but it was your job. You had to do it.
I think you were there when the armistice happened.
Yeah, I was there for the ceasefire. That night I was driving for a dog company, and the dog company officer was Major Archer, and the second in command was Captain Montague Jones, and I had to take them back to A Echelon, that's the battalion HQ, and they went to the officer's mess. And I had to wait there until that was finished. And then I brought him back after the ceasefire. And on the way back, that's when he said to me, well, you can switch your lights on there. Drive back with your lights on. So I was a bit apprehensive because you never know if anyone was wanting to get the last shot in. But I put the lights on and drove back.
Did you see anything of the enemy after the ceasefire?
No, after the ceasefire, our battalion was due to leave there, and we moved down to Pusan. Then from Pusan, the battalion went to Egypt, and I didn't have enough time left to go with them to Egypt. So I went to Japan for a couple of weeks, a place called Kyuri. And from there, I got the boat home.
What happened in your 2 weeks in Japan?
Oh, in the 2 weeks in Japan, I was at a camp where they had all the repatriated prisoners. And we was treated quite well there. I mean, there was a lot from the Gloucesters. A lot of the Gloucesters was captured. Don't know about the Gloucesters. Glorious Gloucesters in Korea. A lot of them were captured. That's when they was pushing up and pushing back. That was earlier on in the Korean War. And I made some friends with them. And he was in the camp during the day, getting fed and having going out in the evening and drinking in the bars. There's quite a few bars there. You could go out and drink. It was quite a pleasant time, that was.
What impression did you get of the experience that the prisoners had had in the hands of the Chinese?
Well, they didn't talk about it much, really.
Did they seem to be all right?
Yeah, they seem to be well kept.
How do you feel now about having served in Korea with the Royal Fusiliers?
Well, opening up my eyes to the world, I mean, at that age, just at the beginning of the 50s, there wasn't a great deal of travel, so I've travelled around the world with a battalion, and it's an eye-opener, and it's an experience.
Did you have any after effects of serving in Korea?
No, not really.
Whilst you were in Korea, had you had any rest and recreation?
Yes, I had 5 days R&R, that's rest and recuperation, leave to come, and I flew to Tokyo, went down to Seoul Airport, and again, it was American Air Force there that flew us into Tokyo Airport. Spent 5 days in Tokyo.
What did you do then?
In Tokyo?
Yes.
We was in a camp there, and you get fed, changed, and went out in the evening and drinking, enjoying yourself in the bars. That's what he was in the army a great deal, was drinking and... After 5 days, I flew back and joined the battalion again.
How did the Japanese treat you?
Quite well. I didn't meet many of the people, actually people. We done a bit of shopping there, went to the Ginza market. Everything was just after the war then, wasn't it? It was 50s, was it 52 I was there? And bought a few souvenirs in Japan and sent some home and got drunk.
What type of souvenirs were you interested in buying?
Well, I bought a pair of silk pyjamas for a girlfriend I was right at home to, sent them home. And also I bought myself a cigarette case and lighter, which was very cheap, and a photo album, which was all done in black Chinese lacquer with the mounting on it and everything like that.